Okay. Hey.
Tom.
Brian.
So, we had Rick Smith Jr., the three-time world record holder for farthest card throw, highest card throw, most accurate thrown cards.
Okay.
And at the end of the night, he did something absolutely amazing. He said, "Hey, have you heard of people who can flip a quarter and they're so skilled they can get it to land one side or the other?" He's like, "Yeah, I could do that." And I was like, "You have a quarter?" I was like, "Yeah, well, yeah, I do." And I hand it. And he says, "What you want, heads or tails?" I was like, "Heads." He flips it and just flat lands in his hand, heads. And he does it again, another heads. He's like, "Heads or tails?" I was like, "Tails." And flicks the exact. And I'm of course looking for swapped coins, whether it's a
that was my first thought.
Two heads or two tails or whatever.
And it was your quarter.
It was
gave him.
Well, but you know, but you borrow an object, you switch it out, you know, that kind of stuff, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And he taught me the method, and it is truly magical. It is a magic trick I can do for myself, and it is amazing every single time. And so I woke up, and the first thing I thought this morning was like, the quarter, get the quarter. And I grabbed the quarter and I did it, and it still worked. And I've done
it. How do you do it?
I can't. That's the thing is, so this is a method of his own devising.
Okay.
That I've not seen anything like it out there.
There's some real exclusive magic content here.
Yeah. And he was like, "Oh, well," because he's the kind of guy that's constantly flinging stuff around and throwing it, and he knows techniques or whatever. And he realized, man, it's so good. It's like magic. I just look and I'm like, "Hey, I'm gonna flip a tails," and then I do, and then I'm gonna flip a heads, and then I do. And I just want to settle everything with coin flips now.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure, right? Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
So here's a conundrum, and I don't want to say this in a way that makes it sound like it's a gotcha thing, because I don't think it is at all. But it's interesting. Magicians are often skeptics.
Mm-hmm.
Skeptics very much want to pull down the veil and show people how the world really works, so that they understand their superstitions have no basis in science. Mm-hmm. But magicians don't tell people how things work, because it would ruin the illusion, which is the opposite of what skeptics do.
So here's the added weird hypocrisy is that...
And I don't even know if it's hypocrisy per se, but...
Well, so the one thing in that chain I would point out is that there's a difference between skeptic and cynic, right? A skeptic just means you're comfortable not knowing the answer, and you're willing to, rather than make up an answer and decide that's how it is, then, you know, instead you're willing to be like, "Well, for now, provisionally, we suspect it may be this way, but we don't know." Whereas a cynic, like, very much likes, you know, wants to, as you said, pull down the curtain and all that stuff. Beyond that, the thing with magicians that's fascinating to me is that there's a marketplace of ideas that's completely enforced with gentlemen's rules. Because in the world of comedy, you make a joke, and yes, you can copyright the words of the joke, or you can write it up as a play or whatever. There are those kind of protections, but the heart of the joke, the idea of thinking you're fat and then seeing yourself in the mirror and some kind of surprise, whatever, you know, those beats, that there's no way to protect that. So instead, in the comedy world, they self-police. They're like, "Hey man, you're ripping off so-and-so's bit.
Don't steal my jokes."
It used to be that there was no way to even know. That's why, you know, if you're doing a comedy club in Missoula, Montana, you're like, "Ain't nobody gonna know I'm gonna use this guy's routine," or whatever. But nowadays it's very enforceable. Everyone has cameras or whatever.
Marvelous Mrs. Maisel uses that. Or someone steals someone else's routine and they're like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, they'll never know, right?
Interesting.
So here's
the 50s or whatever.
Yeah. Here's the fascinating divergence is that there is not in comedy a marketplace where you can write a joke, spend 3 years perfecting it on the road, and then sell it to other comedians.
Mm-hmm.
But there is that in magic. And I think that's why that it's the exact same thing.
That's really interesting, because in comedy, if if someone were selling their joke to other people and the audience found out, they'd be like, well, that's not funny. You're just buying your jokes. I want your jokes to be from you, right?
Right.
Whereas in magic, there's not that sense of like, well, it's not magic if I've seen someone else do it. Like if two magicians do the same trick and you still can't figure out how it's done, it's still magic. It still works.
I think it's the reverse. I think it's a case where you go to see a stand-up comedian and he says, so I'm with my girlfriend the other day and she says blank. Like you don't believe that this was or maybe you do. I don't know.
Well, but what you don't like is if I go to comedian one and he tells me that joke, and I go to comedian two and I get the same joke. I'm like, wait a minute. You're just telling me his joke. Like I want the illusion that it's from you. Right.
Well, and that's the thing is I think that, and I'm still working this out. It's been 20 years and I'm still trying to figure this out. I think that magicians need to tell themselves that the secret is what matters so that they can sell the secret. And we can all agree that the secrets are special and nobody who's not a magician knows these secrets. Now, truthfully, a lot of people know it, right? Many, many magic tricks. The moment you do it, the person on stage, by virtue of participating in the trick, knows how it's done.
Sure.
But this weird protectionist thing of like, no, it's a secret and you must never divulge it or whatever. I almost feel like that was kind of an important thing at the beginning of the 20th century because it was so rampant to steal other people's acts that they did keep it secret. But I think what we're experiencing are the echoes of that in an age where that makes less and less sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I think there's another parallel in stories that's kind of splitting the difference there, where if I write a screenplay, it's going to be like another screenplay. Like
yeah.
It's almost impossible to write a screenplay that is not in some way similar to other screenplays.
What? You did a three-act structure with
exactly,
a likable
right?
protagonist?
Yeah. So it's all about like, how can I make sure it's different enough that, it won't be seen as a direct copy. That's kind of I feel like that's almost driving in the middle of these two other examples that we're talking about.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I'm still working out this whole idea of the magic marketplace because that's the other thing is if secrecy is so important to magicians, why are there literally tens of thousands of magic books? Why? How come the moment anybody comes up with a trick, their first impulse is to get it published and tell other magicians as fast as humanly possible?
Yeah.
None of those are they.
And this could be entirely a misimpression from being on the outside, but I feel like there's a waiting period, right? Like, oh, I keep it for myself at first, then I share it with a circle, and then I put it in the book.
And that's certainly the case for me. You know, when I developed my book test, it took me 2 full months of 40-hour work weeks to develop it. It was very, very challenging. And I sat on it for 4 or 5 years. And then finally, I'm like, okay, I've had my fun. Everyone knows this is mine. Well, in fact, what happens is after holding it close to your chest for a while, you realize just by virtue of me being out there performing it, other magicians, other performers now know it's possible to do what I'm doing.
Right.
And someone out there independently will, inspired by my performance, come up with their method to achieve it, and I will be powerless to stop it. So,
yeah.
So
and
after,
it won't matter if they do it exactly the same as you, if the effect in the end is the same.
Correct. Right. So there's also a race to publish, because if you publish first and then someone else comes along, then it's like, well, you just knocked off so-and-so's thing. It's like, well, does it matter that I invented it first and he's the one who got inspired by seeing me do it? No, it doesn't matter. What matters is I got, so-and-so got to the marketplace first. So there's a little bit of, it's like there's two currencies for magicians. There's financial currency, but then there's also credit currency. And there are some that value one way more than the other. So welcome to This Week in Magic Talk.
I was trying to figure out how to make a blockchain joke out of that.
More like a blockchain.
You got your ICO of your trick method.
Did you see the new Silicon Valley this week, Tom?
Yeah, they did a really good explanation of how Bitcoin works.
Yeah.
Like that, I'm going to point people to that episode now as a tutorial. Like, just watch that. You'll actually get a good explanation of it.
I gotta say, I think Silicon Valley's doing better this year than they did last year.
Yeah, I think so. I wasn't disappointed by last year, but they've raised the bar.
Yeah.
Raised all their bars.
And I think part of it is like trying to bring in new characters and new forces that aren't just like, you know, character of the week.
Honestly, losing Ehrlich kind of helped.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because they're no longer like always in the house, right?
Right. He was always sort of the wacky B-plot. Mm-hmm. And after a while, you don't get that. And you can tell those stories with other people. Like the whole Tesla subplot today, you probably couldn't have Ehrlich do that story.
Well, they kind of almost did try to have him and Jin Yang do that. That kind of a story, and it didn't play nearly as good as it did with Dinesh doing it.
Yeah.
Actually, it's not even just a story. It's not even an episode about Bitcoin. It's about cryptocurrency in general and ICOs and all of that.
Mm. And a fun little pop of an ending.
Yeah.
You know, I recommend.
I love Lori as the morally vacant character.
Yeah. She's like, what does the other woman say?
Monica. Yeah, we are friends.
Yes. Well, and Monica's like, you know, hey, I hope you have no hard feelings. And she just goes, I have no feelings at all. It's like, that's great. And it makes her, an interesting wild card, especially at the end of that episode.
Because she actually likes everyone, but she doesn't feel like that plays into her decisions. Like, mm-hmm. You know, this is business.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Good show.
Always blue. Always blue. I feel like that's what Brian's doing right now.
Yeah, I know.
What am I doing?
It was a thing. Is that even a real thing? Or is that just
That's a real thing.
Oh, I don't know. It's some ball toy that they played with in Silicon Valley. It was like a running, not even a joke. It was just like a thing that they kept doing.
It's like a crowd thing where you keep flipping the ball and the blue side keeps coming up and you keep yelling always blue and the blue side keeps coming up.
Oh, that's great. This is what I'm doing.
Yeah. It's totally what you're doing. Yeah.
I'm sure you can see the shit-eating grin that comes on my face every time I open my hand.
He's been doing it all day. It's great.
I went and got my hair cut at this new place.
Yeah. It's not Birds. Is it Birds?
No, it's Ziggy's.
Floyd's. No, oh, okay.
I didn't go to Floyd's. I usually go to Floyd's. Went to Ziggy's. Mm-hmm.
Too much Stardust?
It was all right. Wasn't as good as it. Like, they promised in the reviews I read, like, coffee, beer, and wine available. No, there was no coffee, beer, or wine.
Oh, boo. Man.
They basically, I walked in, it's like, oh, I have a 12:15. They're like, great, have a seat. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, so this is just like every barber.
The barbers used to be before going to the barber was an excuse. Man, I'll tell you what.
A little nicer on the inside, but... and then the guy came up, took up my hair, and he's like, hey.
No. Look, man.
You guys like to talk to your barber? I don't need to
have a long conversation, but sort of like, hey, are you Tom? Like, great. What are we doing today? Like, you know?
Okay. I want to feel catered to at the barbershop. I've started to get my beard trimmed and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like they take 30 minutes, and they're just carefully going on, all that. Dude, and it makes a difference. Do you get your beard trimmed?
I did. And it was all right.
I need to get...
I used to go to this place in San Francisco that I loved, and they always had coffee and wine, and you know they did all the things Brian's talking about, right, where they pamper you. CNET was paying for it, so it was very expensive. But... so I've been trying to, this place was much less expensive than the place I went to in San Francisco, to where I could afford it, but also promised to have a little bit of that air, but it didn't. Oh, I was a little disappointed with that.
One of the places.
Also at the end, Brian, he like moosed my hair up in spikes.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I can't take my friend's look. Don't do that. even if he doesn't use it anymore, I can't. Really
I told. I love telling them. They're like, "How do you want to use product or style?" I'm like, "Style it literally however you want." I'm very likely going to put on a hat the moment I leave here. <That's exactly laughs> so this will be a fun adventure. How do you think it should look?
Go for it. Enjoy. All right. Well, I guess we should have mentioned this on the other show, but I will not be here for 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. Where are you going to be?
Australia. I will be in Sydney, and then I'll be in Boral, and then I'll be in Melbourne.
Melbourne. So what
and
is
there are really meetups Melbourne? Happening that I have never mentioned on this show, but I will be doing a meetup, Secret Core Killer Insight. I'll be doing a meetup on May 15th at 6 p.m. at Hearts Pub in Sydney, and May 22nd at 6 p.m. at Bartronica in Melbourne.
What is with all of my friends and me going to Australia? You know, I think we talked about this. I'm going to Australia just after you.
Mm-hmm. So you tweeted this out. You should pin this tweet so people know.
Oh, you know what? I should pin that tweet.
At Ace Detect on Twitter.
Very cool. Ace Detect on Twitter.
Melbourne.
You can find me on the tweeters.
You should do that. You should go and just give a real exaggerated American.
Hey, everybody,
accent.
This is how I sound in real life.
Hi, everyone, I'm Tom Merritt.
Yeah, sound like I'm making, like I'm imitating American. Hi, I'm Tom Merritt.
Hi, I'm Tom Merritt.
I am from
I'm
America.
Tom Merritt. You got to harden your R's.
Yes, if I you hardened want to my sound R's like because a, I am from America.
If you want to sound like a foreigner speaking American, you have to harden your R's.
Totally natural hardened R's because I am from America.
Oh, come on. I'm Doctor Strange. Definitely an American.
That's great.
All right. Love you, patrons.
All right. Thanks, patrons. You guys are the best.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.